spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to Whoops, I Did It Again, edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. I'm back today to preview the Alabama defense, and I'm back this year for season 15 of the podcast. Holy cow, can you even imagine? That's got to be worth a five-star review. Am I right? All right. Gone, when we think about the Alabama defense, gone are the jacks, the stars, and the money. And in are the bandits, the wolves, the stingers, and the huskies. Let's see if we can bring some order to this madness. Let's start with the defensive line, where we see a couple of these new positions, the bandit and the wolf, playing with a nose tackle and a defensive tackle. Alabama's going to play more of what we would consider a true 4-2 defense. Alabama played a lot of 4-2 last year under Saban, the last couple of years under Saban, but it was really two defensive linemen and two walk-up outside linebackers. We're going to spend more time on that when we get to the linebackers and sort of what that translates to. But when we think about the 4-2 under Kane Womack, it's more of what I would consider a true 4-2 in that the four are defensive linemen and not a 2-4-5. It's going to be a 4-2-5. And so it's four defensive linemen, two linebackers, five DBs, as opposed to two defensive linemen, two walk-up. So it looks like a 4-2, but personnel-wise, it's two outside linebackers, two middle linebackers, and then five DBs. So there's sort of the rundown there that I told you. I just said I was going to do that in the linebacker, and I just did it there. But anyway, let's talk about the DL, and let's talk about the two deep at the DL. And this is another position that has a lot of depth, and we'll see how it unfolds over the course of the season. And so let's talk through the bandit position, which is more of a true defensive end. And so not a rush in, not a speed in, not a walk-up linebacker. It's more of a true defensive end. You got a player with some heft, but that also has some get-off in terms of attacking the quarterback. That's going to be the bandit position. I have to think that athletically, that's the hardest position on the line to fill. But that's just, you know, my two cents, because you're looking for the right combination of size, explosiveness, and sort of get afteredness. Justin Aboibi was a player last year that was sort of this style of player. We've had others. Jonathan Allen is a player. He was more of a defensive tackle under the scheme at the time, but at a bandit position, at a true defensive end position, he's a player that really would have sort of blown up. So under the new defense, the swarm defense, the Kane Womack defense, that's called the bandit. And so everyone gets excited, bandit, bandit, bandit. It's a new name. That's okay. We got excited about things that went Saban would throw out. But the bandit position, just think of it as is more of a traditional defensive end. LT Overton is going to be the number one player at that position. He's a transfer from Texas A&M. The backup, who I think will push for playing time, again, we're going to rotate a lot of players. If you heard the offensive show, you know that that's true. And then on the defensive line, you like to rotate as many players as you can. The number two at the bandit defensive end position is going to be Ja Moran Lathan. He's a player that has always just been on the cusp of opportunity. He played significantly more reps in 2023. And a couple of years ago, maybe it was his redshirt freshman year or second half of his freshman school year, he had three or four sacks in A-Day. And I get that it's A-Day, but he really sort of flashed. He really sort of showed out. And he's the kind of player, I think, maybe he was undersized for a Saban defensive lineman, again, because you're playing two instead of four of them. So you have less sort of versatility because you're playing those walk-up linebackers like we've talked about. And so he's a player that was almost homeless. He was too big to be a linebacker and too small to be a nose or a true defensive tackle. And so last year, I think he beefed up a little bit, got a little more playing time. And I think that bandit, that true defensive end, is a tailor-made position for Ja Moran. And so that'll be interesting to see if that manifests itself in additional playing time, I think that it will. The nose tackle, this is going to be your big body fella in the middle, Tim Keenan. And I think the number two, Tim Keenan is the player that I pencil in as the number one there, with Damon Payne as the backup. Again, Damon Payne's a player that's going to get reps. We've talked about this at the defensive line before, where depth is a weapon. Depth is its own weapon, because the defensive linemen, the big body players, they can rotate and stay fresh. And you have more guys that can stay fresh for longer, then that becomes a weapon for your defense. And Damon Payne is a player that is going to get some backup reps at the nose tackle, be in the rotation. It'll be a deep rotation. And so I think the defensive line has an opportunity to sort of bring depth to the table in terms of its play. Defensive tackle is going to be Jaheim Otis, and he'll be backed up with Tim Smith. We talked a lot last season about the Tims, Keenan and Smith, and so Jaheim Otis is in there as well. So it's going to be a lot of quality, experienced players sort of in the middle. That'll certainly be fun to watch. The other outside position, the new regime tabs it as a wolf position. And so this is more of a rush defensive end. And so if the Bandit is sort of a more traditionally sized defensive end, the rush end is more your smaller sort of get after the quarterback end. You could consider the rush end or the wolf position an outside linebacker. Saban would have considered it, again, because we played a 3-4 and then took a defensive lineman, and so we really played a 4-2. And so the walk-up Dallas Turners, Braswells, Will Andersons were lined up, hand on the ground, line of scrimmage. So, again, it looked like four down linemen, but they were classified as linebackers. Well, the players, Quandarius Robinson and Quay Rousseau are my one and two. I've got Kanu Coote as my three, and I think all three will play. They were all linebackers last year. And so in terms of body styles, body types, they're linebackers. I think they probably put on a little bit of weight, but they're linebackers that are now considered defensive linemen, because that wolf position is considered a defensive lineman. The jack position is the equivalent under Saban. The jack position was always considered a linebacker position. Courtney Upshaw was one of the original players that sort of dominated at that position. That was always considered a linebacker position. And now it's the wolf, but it's considered a lineman position. So if it's confusing, it's because it's confusing. But just think about they're playing a true 3-4, or I'm sorry, they're playing a true 4-2-5. So four down linemen. So they're classified as down linemen. Whereas under Saban played a 3-4. And then when we went to a nickel on the back end, a 3-4, there's only four players left, so it's a 3-4-4. But when you play five in the back end, you got to take it from somewhere. Alabama would sometimes play a 3-3, more often would play a 2-4. And so two down line, two like truly official body type defensive linemen, and then walk up linebackers. So, all right, we won't beat that dead horse too much longer until we get to linebacker at the next position. We'll probably say all of that again, but it's fun. And some of it is sort of worth thinking about. A roster of players that we didn't quite mention. Keon Keeley is going to be, we talked about two deep, but we can go three. Keon Keeley, I think, is going to be three deep at the Bandit position. He's too talented not to play, so it'll be interesting to see how he sort of works in. Edrick Smith, I think, is backup at nose. James Smith is a backup at tackle. I think he's going to play. We've already mentioned Coote. Yanzi Pereira and Jeremiah Beeman are additional youngsters that will be interesting to watch across the defensive line. Note, there's no obvious bell cow. There's a lot of depth, and we think a lot of talent at the position, but there's no clear lead guy like that's the dominant guy. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. When we think about the wolf, the jack, the rush in, the outside linebacker, sort of the walk-up we could call it any of those positions, any of those names. This again, regime calls it the Wolf. There is no Will Anderson. There's no Chris Braswell. There's no Dallas Turner. It's Quandarius Robinson, and we're not mad at Quandarius, but he's not those guys. And it'll be interesting to see where the pressure comes from, where the sack production comes from. He's got big shoes, does Quandarius, to fill there. Bandit at Overton, I think he talks a really, really good game. I love some of the things that the coaching staff has said about him, and I look forward to his play. But it'll be interesting. I think Latham is certainly suited for the Bandit position. And we talked about his production a couple of years ago. My prediction, let's grade the defensive line position. I have a lot of praise, but I'm giving it a B, and I'm going to tell you why. And here's my prediction at the defensive line position. This is a prediction I hope I'm wrong. I have a lot of predictions I really hope I'm right, and this is a prediction I really hope is wrong. There's a lot of reports out there that the defensive line is the strongest unit on the team. And I see the math. I see how they get there. I just disagree with it. I think this unit is going to be slow out of the gates. It's not the no-brainer best unit that many are predicting. Like I said, I see how they get there. I just need to see it on the field before I conclude. It's a B, but maybe it's incomplete, because if they come out and wow me, I'll be the first to sort of change my grade. You know, we mentioned some of this. Overton is a question. Robinson is a question. Otis was not healthy last year, all of last season. Is he going to be healthy? Can the Timms do it again? They were surprising last year with their level of play. Can they repeat that performance this year? If we get yeses, if we get the right answers to all these questions, then this unit will be a strength of the defense. But where we are right now, I need to see it. I'm not ready to predict it for this unit. Although I'm excited and I look forward to watching them play, my prediction is cautious optimism on the defensive front. All right, let's move to middle linebacker. And gosh, so much of my talking points here I've already covered with the alignment, the 3-4-4 versus the 4-2-5, and how you run the 3-4 when you're actually playing five defensive backs. So anyways, we've talked all about that, so we won't break that down. What we will do is we'll talk about the two linebackers. There's the Mike linebacker, which is, hey, that's a term we've all used, we're all familiar with. Mike is the middle linebacker. That's going to be Deontay Lawson with Jeremiah Alexander as his number two. And the Sting linebacker, which we also think of as the Will linebacker, is going to be Jahad Campbell, and that's the position he played last year. Jahad is such an athletic freak. He really is. And he's going to be backed up by Justin Jefferson, which he may be too athletic to keep off the field. So there may be some unique opportunities. I'll say something that's funny. And that's the Sting is playing the Will. And if we borrow like the defensive line position that is most closely affiliated with linebacker, it's the Wolf, which under, you know, was the Jack under Saban. Well, a lot of times Mike and Will are the traditional names. And then you would play the traditional linebacker names are Mike, Will, and Sam. And so Mike is in the middle, Will is the weak side, and Sam is the strong side. And gosh, that makes sense. The M, the W, and the S. Well, the Sting, which is an S, so you might think it's the strong side linebacker, is the Will. It's the weak side. So the S Sting is the weak side. And the Wolf is the, not the weak side, but he's the strong side. And now he's a defensive lineman. So the S's and the W's are also screwed up. So I guess we'll just have to live with that. My prediction, speaking of which, is that this is going to be one of the best linebacker cores in college football. I think we have two all SEC backs. One may be first team and one may be second team. And I think we have the potential of getting both of them on All-America teams. I think these linebackers have the chance to be just really, really good. Justin Jefferson, again, he's going to find a role, maybe as a situational rusher, almost like a Christian Harris a linebacker that would come in, and he played a lot of situations, but he would rush as well. So I think there's an opportunity, Justin Jefferson, in that role. I think the cornerback position is the one hardest hit by the transfer portal when Saban left. Consider Trey Uyemos transferred to Ole Miss. Earl Little Jr. transferred to Florida State. Dez Ricks transferred to Texas A&M. And Antonio Kite, knife to the back, transferred to Auburn. I think three of those four players would be starters on this year's Alabama squad had they stuck around. I've not tracked each of these players at their new homes to see if they're starters. I would be surprised, again, if at least three of the four weren't starters. I might would predict that all of them would be starters. So that's a pretty significant hole to be digging out of. And I would say, surprisingly, the Alabama cornerback core in 2024 is strong given its transfers and freshmen. So let's sort of jump into it. Again, under the sort of the Womack scheme, the swarm defense, my understanding is they're going to play more of less left and right corner and more boundary and field corner. And so whatever hash the offense lines up on, you know, one of the sides is going to be closer to the sideline than the other. And so the side of the offense that's closest to the sideline, the boundary corner will play there. So it's closer to the boundary. And the field corner, just the field, more wide open space, more green space than the field corner will play that side. And so when we think about, and in that type of alignment, you typically, your field corner is going to be your better corner because he has more real estate to cover. So that's sort of the thought process there. The field corner, my projected two deep, the field corner will be Damani Jones, transfer from USC. The boundary corner starter will be true freshman Zabian Brown. And their respective backups at field will be Jalen Mbakwe, true freshman, and Deshaun Jones, a transfer. And then I'll give you three deep. Charlie, you're probably running out of ink, but I'll give you three deep. Jahil Hurley is a redshirt freshman. Back up at the field corner, and Zay Mincy, true freshman, third backup at the boundary. And so we've got three deep at the corner positions, freshman, transfer, freshman, redshirt freshman. That's a lot of youth. That's a lot of youth. And so when I grade the position, I got to go incomplete. I think an A is in the offing, and I'm going to hit you on the prediction here. I love the talent across this group. I just think there's so much unknown. We've never seen any of these players play a snap of defense for Alabama, so in meaningful games. So it's an incomplete grade. I think Mo Lindquist is the super hire in this regard. I think he pays immediate results coaching the cornerback position. So we should definitely watch out for that. Super, super exciting. I think when we think about managing the transfer portal, you try to do a couple things. You want to get the best available player so you can increase your team. And you need to sort of strategically roster manage. And I think, again, Courtney Morgan and Kalen DeBoer knocked it out of the park. Damani Jones was the obvious hire. The best corner, five-star corner available. He's transferring, wants to come to Alabama. Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, he committed to Saban and stayed under the new regime. But he's the no-brainer. The deft moves is the Deshaun Jones hire. Again, strategic roster management. He's brought in to set the floor at the position. He's a former starter, played significant snaps for Wake Forest, was really sort of emerging into his own. And with the departures of the players that we mentioned, there's almost, we need to triage this position. We have to stop the bleeding. We have to define what's the worst that we can play at that position. And Deshaun Jones does that. And I don't mean that in a pejorative to him. We want a high floor. And Deshaun Jones gives us that. And so Damani Jones, Deshaun Jones, all right, we can exhale. We can play the cornerback position and be competitive. Now, if someone can beat them out, then we're just better. And so I think Deshaun Jones was a powerful position in that regard. Some Alabama fans are going to say, oh, yeah, but he was at Wake Forest, and Wake Forest, da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, we brought in a Vanderbilt lineman who started at left tackle for a full season. Jalen Key and Trey Amos were highly valued safety and corner transfers last year, and they both played at smaller schools than Wake Forest. So Deshaun Jones comes in, provides an immediate plug at an immediate need. And I do think that he may start the season, but Zabian Brown will be the starter. And so we may roll out week one, week two, but before we know it, Zabian Brown will be the starter at a corner position. He has been injured, and he's played all fall camp with a club over his hand, and you wouldn't know it. If you didn't know and you were watching the film, watching the practice cover, you would say, who's that athletic dude at the cornerback position? You wouldn't even notice that his hand is wrapped up. And he is that guy. I think Zabian is going to play. I think you have to put him in there and take your lumps, because weeks 2, 3, 4, 5, by the time you get in the sweet spot of the season, he starts to be comfortable out there. And I think he's lights out. I think he's going to be phenomenal. I think you roll him out there, you roll with it, and then you're very comfortable with what you have in terms of backups with Deshaun. Deshaun Jones is able to sort of be a swing corner, and he can be the number two at either of the two positions. All right, here we go. Buckle up for my prediction. It's a secondary. It's a defensive backfield prediction. So I'm going to roll it out for corners, and then we still have safeties to go. My prediction is that the secondary, it's not going to be week one. Give me some runway here. But by the end of the season, the secondary will be the strength of the defense. Ooh, did you see what I did there? So that's my prediction there for the defensive backfield position. All right, so let's talk about the safety position. Oh, and I missed one of the sleek names, and that's the Rover. So when we think about a traditional safety lineup, there's, you know, the free and the strong and well, when you think of two, I guess there's traditionally two safeties, the free safety and the strong safety. And then Alabama is going to play a 4-2-5. So there's a five. And so under Saban, we knew it as the star. And under the Walmart defense, it's the Husky. And it's easy to think, well, that's because DeBoer was at Washington and a Husky, and we should change the name of that position. Well, maybe we should change the name of the position, but not because Husky is a Washington reference. It's because that's what Womack has always called the position, and he's never coached at Washington. I don't like the name of the Husky position because it's the star position, which is in effect a third cornerback on the field. And well, when I was a kid, I used to wear Husky jeans, and there was nothing third cornerback about a pair of Husky jeans. And so when I think of Husky, I think of maybe a defensive tackle and less about a DB in the secondary. But those are my own issues. So let's talk about the starters at each of these respective positions. I'm also going to talk about dime. Now, I don't know that there's a fancy name for a dime in the Womack system. I guess by week three, we'll probably hear what that is. The dime under Saban was the money position. It's the sixth defensive back. So in a third and long or against a freak show passing situation, you might want to put six defensive backs in the backfield. I've not heard anything about either just a name for the dime or who's rotating in at the position. But I'm still going to predict who I think is the starter at the dime position. All right, so let's roll it out. The strong safety, which is the Rover, is Keon Saab, transfer from Michigan, and he's going to be backed up by Bryson Hubbard. And then I'll give you three deep on that. I think it's going to be King Mac, transfer from Penn State. The free safety is going to be Malachi Moore. Thank God for Malachi Moore and coming back this season. He's the only player in the secondary that has logged significant snaps for Alabama in real live gameplay. And so we're so pleased that he is back. So he's going to be the starter at the free safety, and he's going to be backed up by Cam Howard, who is a transfer from Charlotte. So that's a small program, a small school, but a transfer that's coming in to make his name at Alabama. He's kind of like the Amos or the Jalen Key. Jalen Key was a transfer from Birmingham Birmingham program and the Blazers. And boy, that threw me off. And then Amos from Louisiana. So two small programs. And so Cam Howard coming in from Charlotte is not dissimilar from those cats coming in. UAB is not dissimilar from Cam, from Cam Howard coming in from Charlotte this season. So I think he's going to be too deep at the free safety. The star position, or the Husky, is going to be Devonta Smith, and not that Devonta Smith. He's staying in Philly, but defensive back Devonta Smith. And I tell you, this kid has an opportunity to be phenomenal. And again, if he can stay healthy. Saban has raved about Devonta Smith for a couple of years, and he just can't stay on the field for health, which is a question mark and such an opportunity. If he can stay healthy, everyone's going to remember who he is. And then he's going to be backed up by Red Morgan, who is a true freshman. And Morg was phenomenal at A-Day. So he's going to get some run in the 2-deep there. And I'm going to predict the dime, sixth defensive back. It was called the money. We'll have another name for it, whatever it's going to be. And when you go 6-deep at the defensive backfield, you're grabbing someone else. You're grabbing the next available player. And so the guy is going to be a backup at one of the primaries, and then he's the starter at this sort of unique position group, the dime, situational starter. And so I'm going to say it's either Cam Howard or Deshaun Jones. It's one of the transfers. And so whoever is closer, obviously if Deshaun is starting, then maybe it's Cam. And if Deshaun is not starting, then maybe he's the starter at the dime. So that's the idea there. The concept will be when we go 6, we need experience on the field. And so we're going to go with one of the transfers for the sake of their experience at the position. So let's talk about safety position sort of in general. All the headlines and all the alarmist media was fixated on losing Caleb Downs. So let's just say this. Losing Caleb Downs is a big deal. There's no question about it. If Caleb Downs were on this Alabama team, he would be one of the most athletic players on the team, not just in the defensive backfield, but on the team. At Ohio State, he's going to be one of the most athletic players on the team, probably one of the one or two best players on their defense. So losing Caleb Downs is a big deal. If we could wish a wish and get one player back, it would be Caleb Downs. Okay, so I want to emphasize that so I can set it on the shelf and say what we're going to say next. So we love Caleb Downs. We actually root for him to do well to a point at Ohio State, and we wish he were still with us. All right, he's not. How do you replace Caleb Downs? Well, how you do it, if losing him is a big deal, how you replace him is also a big deal. Now, it's a little bit of replacement by numbers, but how we replaced him, how Alabama replaced Caleb Downs is a big deal. And again, it sort of demonstrates Morgan and DeBoer sort of crushing it. Kalen Sabb transfers in from Michigan. I think he's 70 to 90% of Caleb Downs. Just off the cuff, which is not bad, especially when you're considering an away from the ball position, an ancillary, not ancillary, but literally a secondary position, performing away from the ball. Again, not taken away from anyone who plays the position, but it's not a quarterback. It's not a down lineman. It's not a rush in. When you start counting down your most critical players, it's not your number one shutdown corner. When you start ranking players on the field, you get further down the list before you get to a safety. And so if we're replacing a premium safety in Caleb Downs with an 80% quality player, I'd say you're doing really, really well. There was some discussion on a recent Zoom, and maybe it was theory, maybe it was some inside information, I don't know. But there was the thought that if Caleb Downs had come back, then maybe Malachi Moore would have left. Well, interesting. I like Sab and Malachi combined probably more than I like Caleb Downs on his own. So that becomes sort of an interesting guy. That becomes sort of an interesting situation. Cam Howard comes in and he sets the floor at the safety, at the next safety position, immediate depth, and he sets the floor. I think he's going to be a contributor. And I love King Mack for that little extra oomph that he's talented, his youth. He almost fits a void in the roster, not at the top end, but sort of in the middle. He fits. He fills a void in the depth at the position. And he's a potential returner. So when you cobble all of those parts and pieces together, it's a little bit money ball, right? I think Alabama did very, very well at the safety position, sort of backfilling for Caleb and in building up the position around it. I think this is going to be a very active group of safeties with tremendous depth. And look, I've already given my prediction on the secondary. I think we have an all-SEC two deep. I think the all-SEC two deep will include three Alabama safeties. And I think the secondary, again, is going to be the strength of the Alabama defense by the time we get to the point in the season for that to really matter. That doesn't mean the other units aren't going to be good, and then the safeties are the DBs are just saving us. I think they're all going to be good, and I think the linchpin to this being a killer Alabama defense the last half of the season is going to be the secondary really coming together and shutting down some of the more prolific offensive attacks that we're going to see. And so that's where I sort of land on that. So, hey, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you listening in, and I certainly hope that you've enjoyed it. Leave us a 5-star review and consider joining the podcast team if this is the kind of discussion that you enjoy. And man, if you have an interest in having this kind of discussion around a fire pit with bourbon and cigars and a lot of laughs, then you got to check out the podcast support team. I can't emphasize that enough. Until next time. And hey, next time is going to be an interview preview of Western Kentucky. So we're super excited about that. But until next time, Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach?
Aye.
Of course, Roll Tide.
Save big money on your next project now at Menard. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big.